And good Saturday morning. Welcome to the opening day of the second split of the Louisiana duck season. And yes, we do have a lot of duck hunters headed out. And we'll be getting some reports from them a little bit later on once they get settled in their blinds and get the decoys out and get the dogs ready. But in the meantime, I've got some, not so good news to report on the ducks population that was done by the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries flyover survey, and also the survey that they took last open day of the first split on our wildlife management areas, and I'll kind of cover that with you, but the picture's not real rosy, but that can change day to day with waterfowl. They're not resident birds. They come down from the north, and conditions can certainly dictate our populations locally. Lots of other things to talk about, in case you're wondering where co-host Martha Spencer is. She's actually hunting in Texas, having a little bit of a rough trip. I hope she pulls it out today. She had a miss, and then she had a hit, and no locate as last word, so hopefully things will change as far as her luck. All right, also Christmas time. We're pretty close, just a couple of weeks away. By the way, we're broadcasting today, and this may be a first in outdoor show history. We are broadcasting from the Log Cabin in Fountain Blue State Park. What a great little spot. And I don't think we've ever broadcast from a log cabin. As we continue our on-the-road series, last 2 weeks we were traveling to and from South Dakota for our Cajun Invasion pheasant hunt up with Bad River Bucks and Birds. This time we're at the log cabin, beautiful Fountain Blue State Park in St. Tammany Parish, Louisiana. And if you Google it, check it out. Check out the log cabin, and you'll see it's a really nice facility. Got some deer reports coming up, the sanctuary. We've got some folks up there going to report to us on what's going on. You may recall that was one of the early features that we did on Bayou Wild TV. And it was about this time, I think it was almost exactly this time last year. And not only did we have a successful hunt up there, but we also awoke to a beautiful snowstorm that took place in Poplarville, Mississippi. Anyway, we'll be talking to those guys up there. Also, the outdoor opinion poll, we've got a new one up. It deals with chronic wasting disease. And I've heard a lot of people who are saying they're really not concerned about it. Other people are very concerned about it. Where do you stand? Go to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Look at the outdoor opinion poll and please cast your vote. In fact, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to have a full discussion on chronic wasting disease. We're going to hear from wildlife and fisheries biologist Jonathan Bordelon. He and other biologists just returned from kind of a conference that was held to get the latest updates on where the disease is and if there's going to be any changes in the hunting seasons or the hunting regulations. We know that we've got the deer carcass ban regulations, and I'll kind of go over those. Some interesting developments with that in Alabama. They are very, very protective, as Louisiana is. They have not yet had a single case of chronic wasting disease in their state, and they're taking some steps to ensure that that does not happen. We'd also love to hear from you, and the way we do that is you text us, 870-870. Love to hear from our audience. Tell us who you are, where you are, what you're doing on this Saturday morning. A couple weekends before Christmas, a lot of time off now. A lot of schools will be closing. Kids are home, people taking vacation, a little extra days off. Lots of time to get out there and hunt and fish. Also going to tell you about my fishing trip this week down in St. Bernard Parish with, I call him Sanchez and Son, Glenn and Jonathan, a longtime friend of mine, retired Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement Major Sandy Darez. I went out and we kind of beat the weather. We had a frontal system, if you remember, coming in Thursday. We got out there, had a short window. I think we wrapped up about 10:30. Had a nice little mixed catch, so we'll tell you about that. You'll also get to see some of that on the Fish and Game Report. That's going to be coming up on WWL Television and also on Bayou Wild TV. Very special announcement about Bayou Wild TV, and I'll get to that a little bit later on this morning. But right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back. We'll start off with our fishing reports. We got a whole staff of expert marina operators, professional fishing guides, professional duck hunting guides to help you get the information you need to get out and be successful. We do it every week right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Before we get started with the fishing reports, while the duck hunters are still in their trucks or at their camps and have not started out to their blinds yet, let me give you another update on what the waterfowl situation is as we open up the second split of duck hunting here in Louisiana. This was the hunter participation survey that was taken on the last weekend of our first split, and the results are not good. Generally, if you see an average duck per hunter take, around 2 or above, that is considered excellent. Of course, the limit is 6, but, you know, some go 0, some go 6, and in between. So a 2 or a little above is really good. It was 0.8 on Saturday, December the 1st. In fact, some of the WMAs, including, let's see, I guess that would have been Pasalute, not a single duck. Well, actually, there were a couple of ducks that were shot there. I think there were 11 hunters checked. But there were some that blanked out in many, many of these management areas, which, you know, kind of was reflective of what we were hearing. There was, yeah, some pretty decent hunts, but then there was also some very poor duck hunts that took place. But what's more important is the flyover survey. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries gets up in a plane a couple of times a year, and they take counts on the waterfowl populations. And they've got the one that they just flew over this week, and I got to tell you, it's not that good. Basically, we've had 1.94 million ducks was estimated. It's 36% below last December's estimate. So I wouldn't expect it to be as good as you had it last season. Now, there's a few bright spots, but not a whole lot. And part of the problem for this is we've got a lot more diving ducks. You know, you can basically get two types of ducks. You got those that dive for their feed, go completely under the water, and those that just kind of tip up. And we've got a lot more divers because of high water in a lot of areas. Canvasbacks, ringnecks, scaup, also known as dogri, they were well above the long-term December averages. But those dabblers, those tip ducks like the blue-winged teal, the shovelers, way below their December long-term averages, especially a bread-and-butter duck for Louisiana, the gadwall, a gray duck. Green wings and pintails, pretty much the same thing. As far as poldhu, if you're a coot hunter, it was only 18% below the 10-year average, and we get a lot of those things in Louisiana, and they are really underutilized. The average is 1.12 million. This year, we've got, according to the count, 922,000, and that far surpasses, you know, 8 or 9 times the most prevalent duck that we've got in the state. In fact, the one that's the most right now is the gadwall. You've got 180,000 in the southwest and 173,000 in the southeast. Now, another bright spot, if you look at it, if you like to hunt those diving ducks, Catahoula Lake. The water level there kind of fell off. You know, if you remember, we had some reports from Blake Swallow. In fact, we're going to be talking to him a little bit later on in the show. And he said that the high water had really changed things up, and they didn't have a lot of the dabbling ducks, but they did have those diving ducks. And there's some large numbers there, but just a few of the dabblers. They had 90,000 canvasbacks and 156,000 total diving ducks. That was the highest in at least the last 10 years. And the total of 163,000 ducks is still 16% higher than the most recent 10-year average. So if you're a diving duck hunter and you're in the Catahoula area, you're going to be happy. But if you're looking for those dabblers like the teal and pintail, gray ducks, widgeon, not so much. Lastly, and I guess this is another bright spot here, in December and January, they conduct what they call a scaup survey, scaup being a dogri, a diving duck, and they do that over the big lakes in the southeast, Lake Maurepas, Lake Pontchartrain, and Lake Bourne. Now, those of you who have been around for the last 20, 30 years, you might recall just seeing those things cover up Lake Pontchartrain. They feed on the rangia clams. They dive down there, and there's some vegetation on the bottom, too, and it was just a natural place. And when the dogri, or scaup, started to go in decline, and they're still not quite sure what brought that out on a nationwide level, you stopped seeing those birds there. Well, they've got a pretty good report that may be an indication that they're on the comeback, because they saw on there, they counted 134,000 of them. And that's on Lake Bourne and Lake Pontchartrain. They said most of the ones on Pontchartrain are concentrated on the northwest portion of the lake, but there were fewer birds on other parts that they flew over. That's more than the 14,400 that were there last year, and it's 34% higher than the last five-year average. So that could be good news if you like to hunt the scaup or the dogri. It's a diving duck, and they usually raft up in large numbers. They decoy pretty easily. And at once was a real popular bird in Louisiana. It's not one of your prize birds for whatever reasons. People don't some people even pass up on them as they would a coot. But anyway, the bottom line is diver hunters, you're going to start seeing them. You might want to get some diver decoys and get your diving duck calls out and concentrate on those. A lot of ringnecks in the state. 425,000 in the southeast is pretty big. 139,000 in the southwest, 27,000 on Catahoula, over a half a million of them, 591,000 statewide. So plenty of ringnecks, and that is, believe it or not, it looks a lot like a scaup, a dogri, but it's a very, very good duck for the table. All right, we're going to talk to Glenn Sanchez a little bit later on in the show. We'll get to him around 5:30. We'll get to Glenn then. Coming up next is Tofio Bourgeois. We'll find out if he's hunting Mississippi. If he's trying to fish in all this wind, understand it's pretty windy down there. Temperatures, 40s, 50s, you know, not real hard cold. But, hey, when you're on that water, remember the 20-degree rule. Dress like it's 20 degrees lower than what the actual temperature is to allow for that dampness. And, of course, you're running a boat 25, 30 miles an hour into a wind. That's going to have some impact, too. All right, we'll be right back after this quick timeout. You're listening to From the Log Cabin in Fountain Blue Park. The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Yeah, he's a Louisiana man, but he's been known to frequent Mississippi quite often because he and the Cajun Pocahontas have a date with deer up there. Captain Toe, you in Mississippi this morning?
Yeah, man, we up here a little north today. Because I took you some pictures a little while ago. I don't know if they went through.
I did see them. Yeah. I did. I love that deer stand. That's my kind of stand.
Yeah, well, that's where I'm at right now. She's already going, man. Naturally, last night she got out there. It had rained up here, and the creek got high. She had to take the zip line across the creek to get out there, which means she had to walk a long ways. And I said, "That all sounds good, but if you kill this deer, think about it. We got to drag him back the whole
can
way.
Can you zip line a dead deer? Can you do that?
Yeah,
I guess you could.
Yeah, I have a chain fall set up, so I got a little chain fall that I pull him up on a chain fall, and I send him across, and then I go across. So yeah, I wasn't really interested in that too much last night, but it didn't happen. So the pictures I sent you, and I'll post them after on the website, he showed up about 27 minutes after she left.
So, oh, man, he's watching. He's watching y'all.
Yeah, but he is getting a little goofy because it used to be between 1 and 4 in the morning. Now he's coming 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. You know, last night was, I think it was like 6:27 he was there. I mean, she was over here. At the camp, it was already dark then. I mean, he's getting close, and he done peeled off. So they got him. They got another one. It's another good 14 point. They running pretty much by themselves, but all the eights are staying together. I mean, I got some pictures of four 8 points, a 6 point, all together still, which is crazy, yeah. You know. And but it's getting close for us, Don. So we just steady just watching, and we're gonna see what's happening next weekend. Starts a holiday weekend, so I'll have the grandkids up here, and the coon dog will be up here. So hopefully they'll get a little stupid, and we'll we're still trying to keep that 10 or better. That's what we kind of hunt, you know. And then I got one that's got that goofy horn syndrome. I've been kind of watching him, and he's slick too, man. He's not being too stupid, so he's the one I'm kind of gunning for. So we'll see what happens, y'all. So stay tuned and see as it unfolds what's going to happen here. And I heard you talking about them divers earlier, about the ducks, man.
Yeah.
In Lafitte, I think all 114,000 degrees are in Lafitte right now in Little Lake. Because right now Little Lake is loaded with a bunch of degrees, a scalp, mm-hmm. with a scalp, however you know how you pronounce it. But I'm not too fond of eating them. And honestly, today – we leave around 12 o'clock today. We're going to Stuttgart for 2 to 3 days. So this
Ooh,
is a
cool.
gift she gave to me in July. It was my birthday present. So we got a little flooded timber hunt somewhere in Arkansas and Stuttgart. So we'll let y'all know how that happens also. Y'all can check us out on Facebook, and I'll let you know what's going on with that. And we'll give a little fishing report. So we had a few trips run out this week, Don, and we still got a lot of low water by us. And not much on the speckled trout, but still doing good on redfish. I mean, cricket, one of the last couple of days, had a few guys all the way from West Texas. They drove 13 hours to get here, and I saw that rain come through. So they did good, man. They caught a lot of redfish, but by 10 o'clock, man, that guy said, man, look, I know I drove 13 hours, but I'm done. You know, that rain was pounding them out there. I mean, it wasn't a drizzle. They were fishing in rain. And but you know, they still did good. So you know, they caught some big catfish, a bunch of redfish, no trout. But, I mean, they had to go hide in those dead-end canals to try to get away from just the elements. And they went and sit at the camp for a little while, and then they started talking about Bourbon Street. And for some reason, the fishing got lesser, and the drinking got
became
more important.
Became a low priority. Yeah, gotcha.
It got more important, you know, thinking walking down to Bourbon Street when you're from West Texas. I guess that rules, I guess. You know, that's how it goes. But we'll see, man. But we'll see kind of what's going on. But we've still got, you know, a lot of great fishing happening. Still, you know, the opportunity for gift certificates. Joe's been doing a lot of gift certificates for people who don't know what to buy for the other. So that's some things we can do, you know. So just a lot of things that we offer, a lot of things everybody on the Gulf Coast offers. So it's I'm sure any guy you call, well, you could probably buy a gift certificate. So, you know, I'm almost done with my shopping. I did my Tiffany run. I did from all the huntings and guns and all the stuff we did for the grandkids. I'm almost done. So we're trying to actually enjoy the holidays without fighting for them last minute presents. Man, how about you, Don? You got all your presents bought?
I got two left to get. Yeah, I'm good. Except I got two to get, and I got them identified where they are. It's just a matter of going and getting it. So I'm happy. I'm good.
Well, you're close, cuz. You're close. So just remember that the 24th comes really quick. So for whatever reason, when you get that last home, the 7-day stretch there, boy, it really shortens up if you're in a bind for gifts. But we'll see. Y'all can check us out, man. Look at the website, man, NewOrleansFishing.com. We got the pictures from Cricket's trip and some fishing trips. You're going to start seeing a little more hunting stuff going on right now. So, actually, the pictures I sent Don, I posted, it's my back deck. I got a fire pit. I got a real fire pit. I got a fake gas fire pit. I got tiki torches. And I got a big anti-gravity relaxing chair to watch the creek and watch it zip line. And she done gone. She done zip line across. She's over. I'm on my second cup of community coffee, man. And right now I'm 54 degrees, and I don't really see a reason for me to be out there.
You know? Until you get that call that she needs help. Until you get that call, she needs help to drag something out. By the way, I got a new product I'm going to be field testing called a Gut Buddy. You might be interested in it because of where you hunt. It's this little device, and, man, you ought to see this thing. You can, you know, field dress an animal out in the field, a hog or a deer, and, you know, because that's not easy to do on the ground. You don't have a place to pull it up, and, you know, it lightens your load to get it back by a great bit. And it's good. It keeps the meat fresher, too. But anyway, I'm going to be testing it out, and you might want to get one. Maybe we can get you
a Gut Buddy. Yeah, you're right. Well, right now, if this creek goes down, my Gut Buddy is going to be that 50 horsepower John Deere tractor with a loader in the front. I'm going to go scoop him up and hang him from that bucket. So, but that's pretty cool. Yeah, that is important, man. A lot of people spend a lot of money, exert a lot of time and effort to go hunt by the hunting clothes, the gun, the bike, all the stuff. And after the kill, I was a butcher for 8 years, Don, and I've seen some horrible meat come through that we processed. Like, what did you spend $10,000, then you spend 50 cents to take care of it once you kill it. So, guts on the meat's no good, y'all. So we got to look.
Well,
into
you know,
that.
This
so
is really play. Important for people who hunt on management areas and national wildlife refuges because they don't allow four-wheelers, no ATVs. To go get them, and you've got long drags of a heavy animal, so this thing allows you. You can actually, clean it and put it in a backpack and pack it out in pieces, you know, with this thing.
Oh, yeah, cool. That sounds interesting. So the Gut Buddy, we'll be looking for it. So I'm sure it's got a website or something. GutBuddy.com.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. I'm going to check it out, cuz. I'll go check it out. All right, Don, y'all check us out, man.
We'll talk to you next week. Yeah, got my fingers crossed. Send me the picture of the deer on the tractor when you get it.
Hopefully it's not next week. Hopefully it's sooner than that. But all right, guys, we'll see y'all next week.
All right,
Don, take it easy.
There he goes, Captain Tofield Bourgeois. All right, we come back after this. We're going to get Glenn Sanchez on, tell you about our little fishing trip together this past week, and also what the prognosis is for this weekend. And today, weather-wise, not looking good with all that wind, but we dealt with it, caught a few fish. You can too. We'll tell you how to do it right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, we get text messages that come in during the program, and I got a few here I want to share with you. You can text us your message at 870-870. And our first one comes in from a listener in Wilmer, Alabama. It says, good morning, Don. No hunting today. Babysitting my dog after ACL surgery. That's Ed Miller up in Wilmer. Well, best wishes to the pup. Hope it comes out of that ACL surgery fine. All right, here we've got from Justin, Chili Gentilly, wishing everyone out there a Merry Christmas and thanks for another year of the Outdoor Show. He's a regular, faithful, loyal listener, and we know that. And we really appreciate you listening, Justin. Keep track of things over there in the Gentilly game management areas for us, if you would. All right, then we have good morning. Love your show. Please send a big shout-out to Pinball in Marrero. I wonder if Tofield knows Pinball. Mike is headed to Macomb, Mississippi to a Beagle field trial. Boy, those are fun. I've gone to, actually, we did a TV feature on it. And I'll tell you what, when you get into that level of dogs, man, it's really great to watch those little Beagles work. Kind of miss my Beagles, but back into bird dogs, and friends have Beagles, so there's plenty of those to get out and get the rabbits. All right, here's one that says, what happened to Robbie Campo? Well, we'll find out right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's bring in Glenn Sanchez, a longtime reporter on this program. Went into retirement, but they pull him out every now and then to pinch hit for Robbie Campo. Glenn, tell our listeners where Robbie is these days.
Good morning, Don. Robbie's taking a little vacation so he can do a little hunting to enjoy life a little bit instead of being by the marina all day, every day.
And yeah, I know what people don't realize that. They don't realize what a tough job that is, you know, dealing with the elements and the people and the storms and the high water and bait situations. You know, it is an awful lot of work, and a lot of times it's people don't appreciate these guys. And I'm glad to see Robbie gets out. He went up to Canada, got a big deer. I think he's in Kentucky this week, huh? He's in Kentucky?
Yes, yes. Yeah, he's in Kentucky, and I haven't talked to him, but I'm sure he's having a good time because he enjoys his hunting, and, you know, he gets out there and, you know, works hard to kill him.
Well, I tell you what, I was really happy with our fishing trip Thursday. You know, you and your son Jonathan and Sandy Darez and I went out there, and we knew that storm was coming. We had a quick window, and Jonathan went to boom, 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 some spots, and ended up with a nice little mixed catch of some speckled trout, some redfish, some sheep's head, and a bass thrown in there, too, and a partridge in a pear tree. So it was good. How has things changed now that weather's passed?
Well, there's fish out there. Mike and I went yesterday evening over towards St. Marlow. We ended up with one limit anyway. And but I tell you what, shrimp is definitely the ticket. You can catch them on plastic, but they'll definitely hit that shrimp a whole lot better than that plastic. And the shrimp
and
are beautiful.
And you were fishing it under the cork or tight line?
Under a cork, about 3 feet under a cork with a split shot about 10 inches above the shrimp just to get it down. We did that later in the day as the current picked up. And it wasn't fast, but it was steady, and the trout are really nice.
Yeah. You know? Well, given the conditions we got this weekend, Glenn, would you say staying in that marsh, fishing those lagoons, those ponds that are connected by the little Tronasses, that's going to be a much better shot than staying, say, in the Mr. Go or any big open lakes?
That's going to really be your only shot with this wind is to, you know, get in the tight marsh, find yourself a canal, get in a turn and put the wind to your back and just fish that turn with the current and, you know, fish the top, fish the bottom, you know, fish different ways until you figure them out. And, you know, most of the time shrimp under a cork is normally the best because, you know, it's suspended. They can see it. They swim by it. They grab it.
Well, we caught five or six different species all on it, so it's a very versatile bait, too, and it does cover a lot of ground. So, you know, if I had one go-to bait forever and ever, that would have to be the one to use.
Yeah, well, it's natural.
Glenn, for our duck hunters, we saw very few in the Biloxi Marsh. Did you see any more yesterday that maybe some arrived on that front?
We saw a couple of ducks. We saw some buffalo heads. And we saw some gray ducks flying high, but not many. Not many to talk about. We saw one flock flying high and a couple of them that we you know, ran up while we were running the boat, but not much to talk about.
Yeah, I think Jonathan hit the nail on the head. We were talking about it out there, and he said there's just no feed in these ponds, you know.
No, it's amazing. Last year they had grass everywhere, and this year, I mean, the grass really died back. I don't know what happened. If salt water came in when we had those storms and killed it back, but it's they definitely don't have the grass like we had last year.
Yeah. Well, you know, it changes year to year. It could be a bonanza next year, but if you're going to hunt the Biloxi Marsh, you're going to have to be satisfied with, you know, just get maybe a couple birds and take the shots that you get and shoot well.
Well.
End up with a few birds for the pot.
Yeah, and today you got a better chance of doing something today because opening day you're going to have the maximum amount of hunters out there to help, you know, spook them and, you know, keep them flying. So hopefully that's going to happen. Hopefully they have a good day, and hopefully everybody stays safe.
Well, Glenn, thanks so much for filling in for Robbie. You do a great job. You got a lot of experience at it. We love to hear your reports, and you and the family have a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2019.
Well, you too, Don, and all the listeners, y'all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, because I probably won't be here next week. Robbie should be back.
You'll be
by
fishing.
Then.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully. So. All right, we'll see you next time, Glenn. Thanks again. We appreciate
your
report.
Thank you, Don. Bye.
All right, Glenn Sanchez reporting on the St. Bernard area. Coming up next, we're going to see if we can hook up with Captain Kirk Stansel out at Hackberry Rod and Gun. I know he's going to be out there in the duck blind getting ready. We'll also pick up any fishing information that he might have if you're going to be headed out that way near the Calcasieu, Hackberry, Cameron Parish area. Back with his report after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time to talk to Captain Kirk. No, not that Captain Kirk. This Captain Kirk Stansel with Hackberry Rod and Gun. And Captain Kirk, good morning. And is breakfast finished being served there at the lodge and everybody's on the way to the blinds? Or where are you guys in the duck hunt this morning?
I'm en route right now to my blind. I'm hunting here in the Hackberry Marsh. And a lot of ducks. A whole lot of ducks showed up during the split.
Yeah, that's kind of been the bright spot on the survey when they went over there. And, you know, they're really talking about a huge increase in the amount of divers. So I would expect you're going to see lots of canvasbacks, probably plenty of ringnecks, too.
There are a lot of those down on that the Johnson Bayou Marsh where you and I hunted a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
A lot of canvasbacks showed up. Up here in the Hackberry Marsh, it's mostly gadwall we're seeing. I've seen quite a few pintail as well, but mostly gadwall.
Well, good. The prospect sounds good for the second split. You got any openings later on in the split?
Yeah, we do.
Well,
we sure
we're
do.
Give you phone Well, we'll give you a phone number out in the website before we go off. I want to get people a chance to get something to write that down because I know that might make a great Christmas gift. You know, if they send somebody on a duck hunt,
yeah,
they just want to go themselves.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people here this last week buy gift certificates for hunts and fishing trips for later in the year, you know, for Christmas.
And, well, how's the fishing been?
It makes a great gift, yeah.
How's the fishing been, or has there been any fishing? You know, we've had some
pretty
rough weather.
We didn't fish at all during the split. I took off, went deer hunting for 9 days. And
how did that go?
That went well. You know, I go out to Texas. There's plenty of deer. I sat and horn hunted for a week and then finally shot a cull buck and a dove the last day I was there. So,
yeah.
That went real well. Shot a nice little cull 8-point and, you know, saw a lot of deer. Didn't see a lot of mature bucks. But and I'm going back. I'll make another trip at New Year's.
Well, Martha's out there right now, and she wasn't happy last time I talked to her. She had a miss on a doe, and she had a hit on another buck. She said it was a nice buck. Not sure what it was, but they were unable to locate it at the time.
Oh, no.
Although Andre, who was on the trip, killed a nice 10-point.
Oh, good.
So,
good. Yeah.
So that just added to her jealousy, you know.
Well, she gets keyed up. I know that. I
mean, she is.
About that pintail. Yeah, she's passionate about it. No
doubt. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to hold you up anymore. Kirk, we'll probably try to maybe get back to you a little bit later on once the shooting gets started and find out how you guys are making out in the.
Yeah, good, because shooting time over here is 6:32, and we'll start right then. And hopefully we're not in the blind too long.
You may be done by the time we call you back.
Yeah, could be. I hope so.
If you got some good shooters.
Well, I've got some shooters, I can tell you. I got a guy in the blind. Look, he's been coming for 32 years. And
wow, 32 years.
Yeah, I announced it last night. There's nobody I've ever met that can outshoot him. But most people can hit more.
He's a great shooter, not so much on the hitting. I love it. I love it. Kirk, before you go, give us the contact information. People can find you on my website under the Field Reporters, but if they want to go directly to your site or speak to you on the phone, tell them how to do that.
Okay, we have a toll-free number, Don. It's 888-762-3391. Hackberry Rod and Gun, spell out and.com.
Sounds good. Good luck to you guys, and we'll catch
up
with you later.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right, Kirk. We'll see you, Don.
There he goes, Captain Kirk Stansel into the great outdoors. All right, coming back after this, Darrell Carpenter time, realscreamers.com. Find out what's happened in Grand Isle. Understand, according to Brendan Bayard, the paddling reporter who we'll be talking to later, that bite kind of slowed down a little bit around that hot Golden Meadow and Leeville area. We'll find out what Darrell has to say about it right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, you know, I was really enjoyed that little commentary from Captain Kirk. You know, that's all part of the fun when you go out there. There's a little bit of trash talking and picking on each other. Darrell Carpenter, good morning, Darrell. You don't allow any of that trash talking on your boat on these trips, do you?
Don, I like my Second Amendment rights. So, you know, I tell them all, if you've got thin skin, you better let me know ahead of time, because if you're going to give me the ammunition, I'm going to take the shot, right?
There you go. I tell you what, that's as much fun as catching the fish or shooting the ducks or the deer as all the fun that you have with your friends, you know, picking on each other.
It's the memories that are made. Yeah. Yeah, it's the memories that are made, because let's face it, I mean, we like to talk about our good trips and we kind of like to forget about our bad ones, but, you know, there's bad ones mixed in there. So the whole thing is to share the camaraderie on the boat, and the fish you get are all lanyap. I mean, they expect it and anticipate it, but when you think about it, it's all lanyap. I mean, tomorrow might not come, you know?
Yeah, you got that right. Well, how's the fishing been there? I got Brendan was on his report. He's going to talk about the fishing kind of slacked off in that Golden Meadow Leeville area. It was really red hot there. Have you been in that area or heard anything from that little area north of you?
Well, it's everything kind of slacked off a little bit this past week or so with all this rain and all this weather we've had. And it's just, and for us, a lot of it's been just the timing of our trips and the timing of these weather systems. I mean, we went from everything from, you know, that last front hitting on a high tide, so the wind ahead of it just flooded us again, to exceptionally low winter tides, if you would, after the front passes and we get the north wind. So it's been some kind of hard conditions, which slowed things down a little bit. That day the rain come through, the day before and the day that the weather come through, they just smoked the fish. I mean, a lot of trout. Redfish are still a given. We're having one of the better redfish years we've ever had, as if we've ever had a bad redfish year the last five or six. But there was a lot of trout this past week ahead of that front. Now, there hasn't been anything since. I mean, just nobody, like I said, the timing's been horrible. The side of the road, those little pockets that Brandon and them fish in, I saw some good reports of folks still on the twitch baits, still on the suspended baits, and just smoking those trout. When you start getting into that Golden Meadow area, and all the trout that were caught were pulled mostly out of dead end canals, you know, just finding them on a ledge right near a drop off. But I mean, it's still been worth going. You just got to time the weather.
Well, a lot of people have the desire to go because they got the time off, and this is a real popular both hunting and fishing couple of weeks, that Christmas, New Year's area when people have extra days off and they get out there and do it, and it's just great when the fish and the game cooperate during that time of the year. But, you know, it's a lot of it's weather dependent, and, you know, this is the time of year where every 3 to 5 days, sometimes even tighter or further, we get those frontal systems move in, and you got to know how to deal with them. And like you said, fishing ahead of a front system, it can be really productive if you got the time and you're able to take off and go when it's right.
Yeah, it can. And I guess lucky for us and lucky for everybody else, it looks like we've got about a week or so coming up from the extended forecast I saw all the way through Christmas. It looks like we've got some fairly calm weather. So, and the temperatures aren't going to be very radical. So it looks like this next week's going to be really good. Give it, you know, man, that wind blew last night. We had gusts of 30 plus last night. But give it a few days for it to kind of settle down and let everything settle, you know, get our tides back. And man, between now and Christmas, if you got time off, yeah, spending them on the water or in front of the smoker would be the two best things. Either pull out the chef's hat or go catch you some fresh stuff to cook ahead of that.
All sounds good. Daryl, if somebody out there is scratching their head wondering what can I get someone for Christmas and gift certificates, we talk to all of you guys with the guide operations and certainly makes a wonderful gift. Tell them how that works.
We do, and basically you just call and, you know, whoever the gift giver is calls and arranges it. We can charge it on the credit card or whatever. They can either rig up something themselves. Some people do cards and stuff, or we can do a certificate. And basically they've got 365 days to, you know, you've got a year to just give us a call. Of course, it all depends on scheduling. But all you got to do is call, pick your day. As long as it's an open day, we put it on the books, and they show up. And, you know, it's Merry Christmas in June sometimes, you know.
Well, give them that phone number to call.
225-937-6288.
Or go to therealscreamers.com.
That's right. Merry Christmas, y'all.
Oh, hey, we still got another week to go.
Oh, yeah, we sure do, don't we?
It's not too early to say Merry Christmas, though. But we still have another show to do before Christmas. We'll have our Christmas show next week.
You know me. I got to set an alarm for Saturdays to remind me it's a Saturday.
All right, brother. Take care. Thanks for the report, as always. All right, we come back. We got another full hour to go and got some nice text messages. Want to send us one? 870-870 comes here to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.